The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
This is Grace in Focus, and welcome to today's Q&A program. Today's question, in John 13, the narrative about foot washing, how is it related to the Lord's Supper and to baptism, and how should we think about foot washing today? Dr. Bob Wilkin and Dave Renfro will answer these questions from a listener just like you, coming right up. At the end, stay tuned and I'll give you more information about Grace in Focus and the Grace Evangelical Society. Now, here's Bob and Dave.
Welcome back, David.
It's good to be back.
It's good to have you. And you have a question from the Apostle Peter's brother,
Andrew. Actually, he has two questions, but let's take a look at the first one. He said, I've heard of pastors that preach about John 13, 1 through 20, about the implementation of the Lord's table, with the foot washing being analogous to partaking in communion after the initial washing, that being baptism. It sounds like, based on his email, that he's kind of confused as to how this passage should be taken.
Okay, so there's several things going on here, and this isn't even part two of his question. But Andrew's first part is, a lot of people say before you can partake of the Lord's Supper, or some people would call it communion, right? Or the Eucharist, some people call it the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. You have to be clean. Remember that Paul talked about that we're not to partake in an unworthy manner. So he says, let a man examine himself. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people understand that to mean that before you partake of the Lord's Supper, you should confess your sins. You should do an inventory of the last 7 days, if it's been 7 days since your last Lord's Supper. Mm-hmm. Or if you do it once a month, I don't know, you're going over the whole month.
You better take notes.
That's good. But I don't think that's what Paul's talking about. I think when he says, let a man examine himself, he's talking about examining himself regarding his attitude in the Lord's Supper. Mm-hmm. Because the problem in Corinth, which we read about in 1 Corinthians 11, is that the rich people were coming and eating big meals and getting drunk even. Mm-hmm. And he says, because of this, some of you are sick and some sleep, 1 Corinthians 11:30.
Right.
The problem was their attitude was this was just another meal.
Well, it's a party.
It's a party.
I can't get away from the fact that a lot of the Corinthian believers were saved out of an intensely pagan environment, because Corinth was the headquarters of a lot of mystical cults and pagan cults.
Yes.
And you have believers that come out of that environment. And the problem is, and gosh, I think we have this today, what happens is they bring in some of the old ways, some of the old, like you were mentioning, attitudes that they had in their pagan lives. They bring that into the church and essentially change. For example, the communion, that's all this is just a big party. So let's have a great old time. Instead of it being about the Lord, it's about them having a good old time, because that's what they did in their pagan days.
Well, I think, was it called Bacchanalianism? But it's the idea that they would worship Bacchus, and I think Bacchus was the god of wine, wasn't
it? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. In other words,
they would actually drink lots and lots of wine to worship Bacchus.
Exactly. They grew up in that environment, and coming into the church, how do you eliminate those pagan thoughts, those pagan actions, or trying to mix the two?
Well, God had a good way of doing it. What he did is he struck some people dead in the church of Corinth. Other people got sick, 1 Corinthians 11:30, and guess what? They all woke up to the fact that this isn't just any old party. So at the beginning of the church age, God did some things to tell us, hey, you need to be attentive to these things, and when it comes to the Lord's Supper, this isn't just anything. We need to be serious about it. But when it comes to confessing sins, we don't do that once a week or once a month. We do that all through the day. When we recognize we've sinned, we acknowledge it, we move on.
Right.
And so the idea that I think Andrew has here is wrong. We don't come to the Lord's Supper and go, well, let's see, I haven't confessed my sins in 7 days, so I better do some inventory. Mm-hmm. Well, if that's the case, like you say, you better keep a notebook.
Exactly. Lots of paper, because you probably sinned a lot during that month.
Yeah. You don't have to willfully sin in order to sin, right?
Right.
Oftentimes, a lot of our sins are attitudinal. Our attitude's wrong.
Believers get in trouble when they lose God's perspective. And a loss of perspective will get you in trouble every time. you know, one of my favorite Psalms, Psalm 73. We did that in the Psalms series. Right. Asaph finally got God's perspective on what was going to happen, and everything was fine. You get God's perspective, things start falling into place.
Yeah, in fact, Romans 12, 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the
renewing
of your mind.
There you go.
Mind isn't necessarily a bad four-letter word in the New Testament.
No, it's attitudinal, but also I think it's also a loss of perspective. And I think the Corinthians lost perspective on the importance of the Lord's table and lost the idea that it's about the Lord. It's not about you.
Exactly. You know? So when we come there, we're thinking about him. He shed his blood for me. He broke his body for me. So when I partake of the bread, I'm thinking his body was broken for me. When I partake of the cup, I'm thinking his blood was shed for me.
Right. I think there's a lot of churches, and I don't care what denomination you say, we, especially as believers, when we go to our churches, the whole purpose of going to church is to worship. And that means get your mind off yourself.
That's right.
The church service is not about you. The church service is not about you being entertained. It's about learning who God is and how he operates.
And that's Old Testament, that's New Testament.
It's both. The whole purpose, the word for worship, is to bow down.
Yeah, right.
To bow down means that you recognize that there's something much bigger, much more powerful than you are, meaning it's not about you.
That's right.
And I think a lot of churches these days are more into entertainment than preparing, like the music especially. I think the music should prepare you and get you into that worshipful attitude.
Correct.
That the Lord is the one that is should be the centerpiece of your thoughts.
Absolutely. So I think we all need that. In fact, John 13, let's go to John 13. This is the foot washing incident.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You remember that the disciples are with the Lord in the upper room. This is the night before he's going to die. He's preparing them for his death. He starts out by washing their feet. Well, that was not the job of the Son of God, of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That was the job of one of the lowliest servants, right?
Right.
And yet Jesus humbles himself. Could this be some sort of foreshadowing of the fact that he's about to humble himself by going to the cross?
The suffering servant.
The suffering servant of Isaiah 52 and 53, mm-hmm. Yeah. He humbles himself, he washes their feet, but then he comes to Peter, and what does Peter say?
Peter said to him, this is John 13:8, you shall never wash my feet.
And that, doesn't that sound like Peter?
And in the Greek, it's really emphatic. There ain't no way you're going to wash my feet.
Sounds like Clint Eastwood, Make My Day or something.
Go ahead.
So he says that, and then how does Jesus respond?
Well, Jesus answered him, and I think this is an interesting answer. He says, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me.
Right.
The interesting thing is that, well, let me ask you, how do most people take that, you have no part with me?
Well, a lot of people understand it like Andrew seems to understand it, that if he doesn't wash you, then you're not born again,
right.
That
and
you're not in his kingdom.
Exactly.
But the truth is he's talking, the Greek word here for part is meros, and Hodges, in some of his writings, points out that this is a fellowship concept. And he's saying, look, these people are already born again. Now, doesn't he bring that out a couple verses later?
What, in verse 10?
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you.
Yeah, and the word completely could also be translated something like holy or fully. And the point here...
Oh, in other words, all of you.
Yeah, but when he says, but not all of you, he goes on to say that refers to Judas, the betrayer.
That's right. In the next verse, he says he knew who would betray him. So that last part of verse 10 is a reference to Judas.
Yeah, and this concept appears elsewhere in the New Testament, like we read about the washing of regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cleansing that takes place in regeneration. Now, there's also a fellowship cleansing.
Exactly.
And both of those are present in this passage. The washing of the feet is different than the washing of the whole body. They're already clean in a holistic sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's not crystal clear what that is. Some people say that refers to what people would call positional forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
or it might simply be a positional relationship. But in any case, they are clean before God in a holistic sense. But in terms of daily fellowship, they need their feet clean. And a lot of people think 1 John 1:9 is illustrated by the foot washing.
It could be. And maybe an illustration of that would be family members. You're in the same family, but one of the family members does something nasty to another and needs to confess their nasty behavior. And the whole point is to restore the fellowship. It's not like, oh, well, you're out of the family now. Well, it's a restoration of fellowship between the person who harmed the family member and the one that got harmed.
And that happens with siblings a lot growing up.
Oh, me and my sister?
Yeah.
Don't make me get into that.
So, Andrew, good question. And basically the answer is that Jesus was talking about fellowship when he says, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same point as 1 John 1:9.
Right.
If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which is way more than the sins we confess.
Exactly.
In other words, the sins we're aware of is the tip of the iceberg.
Exactly.
And the 98% below the waterline is all the sins we commit we're not aware of. God doesn't require us to keep a list and try to figure out, oh, let's see, what are all my sins? The Holy Spirit convicts us, and that when he convicts us of sin, and I have a special helper, her name is Sharon.
I've heard her be a contributor to your recalling some of those
things. Occasionally
sins.
She helps me. So we all have people in our lives who can help us understand when we've fallen short of the glory of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, we acknowledge our sins, and we're our feet are washed.
And the Lord promises the restoration of close fellowship.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing better than for that close fellowship to be there and to be experienced.
Well, we've got a part two from Andrew on the next show about Matthew 10, 34 to 39, but we're out of time. Thank you all for joining us, and keep grace in focus.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next Grace in Focus, what did Jesus mean when he said he came to bring a sword? And what did he mean when he said, take up your cross? We'll explore it on the next edition. Please join us. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.